But I want to share something, and it's really, I don't know why I've been walking around this article for months, but it was impressed upon me a while ago. I'm just going to read a few excerpts from it to point something out about how God is, because you were reading, "Bless the house of Israel," and you said, bless the house of Aaron. And I'm saying, bless the house of the Browns and the house of the Martins. And all the Browns who are listening online and so on, God bless your house. There's an article, let us go into it. It says, stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember the former things. I am doing something brand new. Something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in deserts. That's Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19. And he's telling us, even though there is bad times around us and tough times, and so, folks, there's always been tough times. As long as the devil been ruling the earth, there's always tough times. But for those who rely on God, like Isaac, there was a famine in the land, but Isaac reaped 100-fold. He had ingenuity on his part. And so I want to mention, there is a lady, her name is Madam C.J. Walker. Oh, yeah, she's cited in the Guinness Book of World Records as the first female American self-made millionaire. All right? Her parents were slaves. But she rose up, became the first American female millionaire. She said she prayed and God gave her a solution for how to handle scalp in your hair and hair, other ear problems. And so she put it to work and became a millionaire in no time. This is just one of the different things I have in this article. One of them is about Albert Einstein. How did he discover the theory of relativity? He said this came to him in a dream. It was a God-given dream when he was a youngster. God is still doing these things, ladies and gentlemen. And it could go on, you know, the more surreal Morse. You have a lot of people. Booker T. Washington, God gave him things supernaturally again. Henry Flagner down there in Florida. You know, God uses a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. It's just that sometimes we don't have people who are willing to give him credit for what he's doing. They give it credit to their ingenuity and research and psychology and stuff of that nature. No, God is doing that. So I want to remind the people in the church that don't worry about what happened in the past. God is doing these things, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's press on in the message today, because after giving this presentation on Wednesday, talking about the faithfulness of God, it was impressed upon my mind that I need to really expand on this. Now notice what I said. God is faithful. Is there anybody who don't believe that God is faithful? I am telling you, even in the church, there are times or in some areas where we're lacking faith. It's not that he hasn't promised. It is that we are not in a position to receive because we don't really rise up. And so I want to remind us now that we need to make a list. I was just suggesting, I don't know if I got it in my sleep or was thinking or what, but I was suggesting we work on one of these challenges per week. You're going to update your list, of course, but you work on them one per week. So that means take out the feast time, that's 50 for the year. You could say if you want to go every week, 52, but let's just, you know, make it 50 per year. That's one per week. you're going to go to the Lord with one of these, because the idea is, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to walk. We want to maximize what we're doing. We want to maximize our faith. All things are possible to those who are the bottom ones. Okay, yes, a couple times. That's it. So all things are possible to those who believe. And so I want to remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that God, as we just said, you know, those people, they were industry, but they believed in God. Do they know as much about the Bible as we do? I don't think so. But they reach high heights in their area. Now, I am saying to you, and the reason I'm saying we need to make this list is because there are areas in our life that the enemy is trying to establish a stronghold, and you want to kick him out in every area he try to come. We want to totally get rid of him. The Bible says, if we sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cover us. As a matter of fact, let me try to refine it. Because if we sin, 1 John, he is faithful and just to cover us. Let me see. I want to make sure I'm telling truth's sake. Let's see, that's chapter 2. Okay, there's only one. And let me see. Beloved, let's see. Let's see. 1 John chapter 2. Beloved, believe not every spirit. All right, let's see. Chapter 2. My little children. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Can sinners sin? Yes, we do. We can do it by neglect. So he's writing, say, we don't want us to sin, but he says, if we sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation, or the down payment, or the deposit for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So here he comes, and when he's going to cover us. And so the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are constantly pursuing him. That's the goal. We're constantly following him. That's our goal. And so, I am saying to you, God is faithful. Now, in Deuteronomy 7th chapter, we've read that last night. We also covered that in the teaching, but let's go there again. Because you're going to find a lot of what I'm saying you have heard before, but it don't necessarily mean it was presented in the same way. And so don't assume that, well, I know this, been there, done that, somebody told us that some time ago. They're mistaken, and we don't want to take that approach. Always be quick to learn, to take another look. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, and he is a faithful God. How often did the children of Israel forget that God was faithful? How often do people in the church forget that God is faithful? He promised us healing, didn't he? Is everybody in the church receiving it? Well, why is that? Because they don't believe like the Bible says. That's what it is. They are missing something. And that's why I'm saying, in that era, they are not faithful. God is, but they're not. And so we need to acknowledge that now, that we have fallen short. That's why I'm saying, make that list, so you're going to go to him and ask him to do what? To help you. Just like that man who came to the Jesus and said, your disciples couldn't cure my son. And Jesus said, if you can only believe. And he said, help my unbelief, because he realized he didn't really measure up. Did God help him? Yes, he did. Will he help you? Yes, he will. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, no, don't try to act like, well, it don't work. No, it does work. It is you who are not doing what the Bible says. Yes, a whole lot more, folks. I said the Bible is filled with promises. I remember when I first discovered these things, this many years ago. I spent one whole Friday. I was at work. They had done so much changes that they took away most of my work, so I had more spare time. And I spent the whole Friday looking for promises in the Bible. And I was pointing my finger at them and I said, Lord, look, look, you promised these things. You promised these things. One of them is, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So I said, Lord, help me to walk uprightly. Because that means I'm going to get the good thing. If he helps you to walk uprightly, remember what he said? No good thing will he what? Withhold. So it's going to come. So what you need then is help to make sure you walk upright. Now, there's this gentleman was giving an illustration some years ago, so I just thought I'd just copy it and share it with you. Where we live in Arkansas, it gets very warm, or I should say hot, in the summertime. And he invited a friend who lives on a farm. He lives like a little cabin on a farm. And his friend came to the meeting. And of course, with a lot of people there, it didn't take long for it to get hot, especially in the summertime. So he told one of the attendants, you know, point to the thermostat on the wall, and he says, hey, turn the air condition down a little more, please, because it's kind of getting hot in here. So he did. Well, his friend came to him afterwards and say, how much do one of those things cost? And he says, well, oh, about $7 or $8 or $9. He said, for that? Oh, man, I can keep my cabin cool. He wanted to buy a thermostat. He didn't know that there is an air conditioning outside or on back somewhere, and that there are vents connected to it to pipe the thing inside the house, and tubes and stuff like that connected. All he saw was the thermostat. And so he says he's going to get one for his cabin wall. Just like you have yours on the wall, I'm going to put mine up just the same way. And he was missing the point about the background that goes along. Or hear us pray. Or they see we said God is, you know, good and he does this. And so they expect to just receive the same thing. The same way. They just like this gentleman who's just going to buy a thermostat and put it on his wall. They miss the part about righteous living. Whatsoever you ask of God, you receive of him, because you keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. They're missing those parts, you see. And they don't quite get it. It's the same way, ladies and gentlemen, when we think about the faithfulness of God. Because the point is that there is background that goes along. The thermostat is good. It makes it easy and convenient for you to do it inside the building. But there is more that goes on with it around the back. The same thing for you and I. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's look at that again. We touched on it again last night, but we want to touch on it again tonight, or today, rather. And he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. What does that mean to you? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, doesn't it?
Yes.
So why do some people keep praying and say, Lord, come closer? If he is in you, how much closer can he get? I understand what they mean, but they misspoke. But we need to have these things synchronized in our mind. And we're going to see in a minute because it's relevant to receiving from the Lord. You see, according to his divine power is given unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Notice that now. It comes how? Through the knowledge of him, knowledge of Jesus and what he teaches, who has called us to glory. Us to glory? Yes. And virtue. Verse 4 says, he has given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Every youngster better make sure they make a note of that. He has given unto us exceedingly great, not just promises, great and precious promises. You got a lifetime ahead of you? We want you to maximize your ride with the Lord. That's why you need to know that. Go ahead and throw in there, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and uncover knowledge of smart inventions. Who was it that, the gentleman that developed the what do you call this, the peanut butter? What's his name?
He's a black man.
Yes. He got it from the Lord. I forgot his name. But anyway, he discovered it. And so what I'm saying is that he's uncovering knowledge of witty inventions. A lot of people don't seem to understand that. Let me see if I have his name here. Was it Washington? No, it wasn't Booker T. Mm-mm. But, Carver.
Oh, CJ.
Yes, Carver. Yes. God gave him that insight. He's given these things that they're available. Most people don't know. Because there's a great Roman organization that tell people that it is good to be poor, you know, to take a vow of poverty and stuff like that. And that has crept into a lot of churches and people believe that foolishness. So here it is, God is there trying to bless you, and the enemy is using false teachers to try to tell you that you don't need no blessing, you don't need this. It's good to be poor. What foolishness. Why you pay your bills? But anyway, I am saying to you that God is faithful, and therefore we need to make sure then we do our part. So it comes through the knowledge of him. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we now are being privileged to be partakers of the divine nature. We are partaking more and more of the divine nature. So the more you study these things, the more you pay attention to him, the more you abandon the way of the world, because the world is, you know, it's permeated, well, it's the world. It's all over. A lot of people don't understand that. But as the more you understand and start to abandon that way and follow God, not only the more blessed you get, but the more you become a light. You probably see some cars around here driving around with signs on them. One of them usually say Mary Kay. They got a lot of different things, signs and so on them. Well, I got a text this week. They're saying, we'll pay you $700 if you put this on your vehicle just to drive around. $700, and then they're going to give you so much money per month. That's advertising. You're moving advertising for these people. Guess what? You and I are moving advertising for God. Stop and think about it. Every Sabbath, we put down our tools and we pick up our Bible and we're going to study. And folks are watching us. Relatives are watching us. We're moving advertising about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're wearing, you know, we're dressing up. We do it of our own free will, peaceably. And we go and we celebrate with people who are of like minds and praise God and lift up the name of Jesus. Magnify his name in our minds. And guess what? When we run into challenge, we call upon that same name again. And he helps us. We are living advertisement for him. The rewards are far more than that $700 they're going to give you to put that stuff on your car and drive around with it. But we are continuing to do these things, ladies and gentlemen. So I want to remind us, because there is more, I suggested you go back and look at the weekly teaching with regards to the faithfulness of God, because it goes beyond really my ability to describe. It is so much that you and I can read along that line. I want to bring to your attention, before we skip that area, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Can somebody find that and read out loud for me, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I want to fill your mind up with the concept of what God is doing. I want us to make sure we're thinking about these things, ladies and gentlemen, because I am telling you, the enemy has been busy encouraging people not to believe the things of God and the promises of God. And therefore, we have to stand against it. Go ahead, sir. Yes.
For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God.
Okay, thank you. No matter how many promises, they are yes and amen. So there's no real reason for us not to progress then, is there? When you stop and think about it, this is what I'm trying to convey to the folks, and I'm putting it now in an organized way to help them to realize, hey, listen, by next year I expect certain things from you folks, because there are promises in the Bible that you need to be holding on now and setting some goals so that you can receive from the Lord. And then you now become a distributor. You know, the manufacturer, which is God, he gives it to the distributor, who now distributes it to others. Now, you never know any distributor who ever go without for themselves? No, they're always going to get. What about that little boy who brought all those fish, the few little fishes and loaves? He was the only one who came prepared for lunch. His parents, you know, probably, well, maybe they didn't come, or maybe they came late, who knows. But the point is that they gave him his lunch and he carried there, and they say, well, this is all we get. But what is this among so many? And guess what happened? Jesus multiplied it. And they pick up 12 baskets left over. I don't know how much he carried back home, but I imagine he got some. I am saying to you, when you become a distributor, you're going to be equipped. Not everybody become a distributor. Only those who are willing to distribute. So he says here in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians rather, 1:20, for all the promises of God in him, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto God's glory. In other words, he doesn't back down from his promises. He give you them, even if you mess up, it stays with you. Now, you won't get no more if you're messing up. Like Samson, he didn't get no more, but he kept what he had. The promises of God are without repentance. In other words, he doesn't take them back. Once he give it to you, it's yours. Now, it's up to you to use it wisely, but it's yours. But I just want to go ahead and remind you, ladies and gentlemen, about these things. No, I want to bring up on this thing was it on Thursday. It was so strong in my mind about the Lord's compassion that I want to remind everyone that the Lord is full of compassion, and that's one of the reasons why he's so generous with his healing and really gifts and everything. You stop and think about it. He's generous. You know, he could have stopped Adolf Hitler from day one. He could have. Even those people receive from the Lord. Now he accomplished a purpose, which is to give some discipline to the Jews and so on. But you get the idea. I'm saying God is generous. Because of that, people mistaken believe, well, it's just what, you know, it's them doing stuff on their own, not realizing how God is operating. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 9, because I have to leave this impression upon our mind. The 9th chapter of the book of Matthew. I want us to pick up and just look at this story again, so you can understand it again and just get it refreshed in your mind again and again and again. So verse 30, let's see. Verse 32 says, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. He couldn't talk. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. We never see nothing like that around here. He drive out that demon, and that man started to talk. Verse 34 says, but the Pharisees says he cast out devils through the prince of devils. In other words, through Satan. And Jesus went about, and he says, Jesus went about all the cities and the villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I want you to notice, he was constantly what?
Teaching.
Preaching and teaching. The folks need to hear these. That's why I keep saying it over and over. Folks need to get this in their mind. If you go to a congregation where they mention healing once a year, nobody ever get, no, they never see nothing, it is a strange thing to them, and you come talking like that. Here it is, I was right there, down in Orange Beach, Alabama, where God healed that man right before my eyes. And there was a gentleman standing maybe 10 feet away who still didn't get what was going on. And he's telling me people don't understand how they can get healed. And his point was that, because all he knew is, go to the minister for him to anoint you. Many, many people have gone to minister to be anointed and they don't get healed. That's not the only way. But he doesn't understand enough about that. But I'm saying, if you're in a congregation where people aren't teaching these things, don't be surprised if that knowledge is hidden. The greatest trick the enemy is using is that he doesn't exist. Secondly, he tries to convince people that these things don't work. But here it is said, Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's what he did back then. Guess what he's doing today? Same thing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, well, we don't see anything around here. We need to examine where you are and try to see if you're in a city like Bethsaida. where he tell him, don't go into town. You know, imagine, Jesus, here it is. This is God himself. He's going to heal this man. He said, don't go back in that town. Don't go back in that town. You hang around that town, you're going to end up spiritually blind and along the physical blindness. You hang around certain groups, I'm telling you, you won't hear that knowledge. Ain't nobody going to teach anything like that around here. Well, people talk like that, you don't be surprised if you don't see nothing like that around them. I want us to understand about the Lord's compassion. So let's read a little more. But when he saw the multitude, this is verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9. Even he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, there are some places where God sees folks and he's moved with compassion, but they limit him as to what can be done. Let's go back to some introduction in this area. I want to go ahead and touch some. You know, there are times, ladies and gentlemen, I wrote this thing, I don't know how many years ago, but there are times in which we, as what we do, we walk in faith. You know, there are times in which we, as what we need to walk in faith and power. If there's one thing that we need to know is that the Lord is merciful. He's full of compassion. And when we are filled with this understanding, ladies and gentlemen, then coupled with faith, remember now, you have this understanding and then you couple it with faith, we can be all that God intended for us to be. When we have the knowledge of God and we're filled with faith now, then we are on the way. We have the ingredients now to be all that God intended for us to be. At that point, then, we can say nothing is impossible to us. Did you hear what I just said? Nothing. If you have that stuff, then you can say nothing is impossible to us. That's what Paul says. Nothing. He said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. When you have this, that's what Paul is talking about. So I'm asking the question, is there a secret? No, that's not the case. There's no secret. But you and I need to learn more of the Lord's compassion. And when you understand this, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see that God start to move quickly and answer our prayers. When you understand that, what we just talked about there, that knowledge of God, so you're operating now within the scope of what he has said, and recognize his compassion, it doesn't take long for you to start to receive. That's why we're so confident. When obstacles are removed, we need not wait years to receive from God. How many people, you see some folks who are struggling for years, and we are, that young lady in Africa, for example, not stressing that too much, but she was like that 5 years. And within a few minutes, we drive those things out and she was delivered, and she is now, this is 20, that was 20, this is 5 years now, right? Yeah, 5 years. She was like that 5 years, and here it is now, it's 5 years since they delivered. Okay, just notice that. But as soon as we meet God's condition, see, that's what I was saying earlier, because a lot of folks don't realize they don't meet the Bible's condition. They meet their condition. They believe, you know, what did this gentleman say to me? Well, you can have faith and don't receive. Well, you don't have faith the Bible way. That's what that means. He doesn't understand. Because God is faithful and he's not trying to see how tough you are. So if you don't receive, it's just that we just don't measure. We need to admit that we need to go a little further, ladies and gentlemen. And so, I am saying to you, when we meet his condition so that he doesn't have to violate any of his principles, then he's going to respond quickly. Let me say that again. We're not asking God to break any of his laws. God is a God of order. He set laws in purpose, or in place rather, for a purpose. But he can override those laws and will override them when we meet the conditions of how he operates so that he is justified in doing so. So when you read, whatsoever you ask of him, you receive of him, because you'll keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And yet you have another group who are trying to tell you, well, you don't really have to keep the commandments, you know. There's a conflict there. How many times do you read, you hear people try to tell you and convince you, well, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. They don't really understand what the Sabbath means. Sabbath means rest. So they don't tell you, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. That's their reasoning. And yet at the same time, they say they want to be like Jesus. Yeah, what is this fellow we saw this week with the foolishness? He's talking something about gay this and that. At the same time, want to convince us that he's a Christian, not the Bible way. Not the Bible way. I gave him a link to the weekly teaching. Yeah, you need to saturate his mind with substance, not foolishness. There are a lot of people who are trying to do like that gentleman who's just going to put up a thermostat on his cabin wall and expect the place to get cool. Bypass the air condition installation, bypass the electricity. I mean, we're laughing. And to some extent it is funny, but it is that serious. I am saying to you, when God doesn't have to violate any of his principles, he's more than willing to move quickly on our behalf. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Pick up another example. Matthew the 14th chapter. And let's see what verse I have here in my notes. 14. Let's tell you verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, all right, let's pick up. Go a little earlier. They beheaded John, it says in verse 10 and verse 11. And oh my Lord, that's a tough one. Anyway, they beheaded John, and verse 12 says, and the disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Verse 13 says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship unto a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. He was moved in compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. His cousin just got killed, and he was tough enough to keep going around healing people. He has compassion on the people that were alive and needed deliverance. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Let's go in and look at that example again. Because what we find, ladies and gentlemen, is that you and I are learning to operate just like Jesus did. So we could start in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going that they had no leisure so much as to even eat. So he said, hey, separate from everybody else, go rest for a while. I'm learning to do that. Verse 32 says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. In other words, they didn't tell everybody, they just go. But anyway, the people saw them, and many knew him, and ran afoot out of their cities, and went them, and they came and brought together, they came together unto him. And then Jesus saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as what? Sheep, not having a shepherd. Then he come and he start to take care of them again. I think that's the same story. But my point again, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus is merciful. He's really full of compassion. Now, I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that in Matthew the 18th chapter, we are looking and we are being told that God is seeking certain type of people. Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 11. That's 19, verse 11 says, the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That was his goal. That was his objective. To save that which was lost. So how think you, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them is gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go unto the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiced more of that sheep than of the 99 which he didn't have, that didn't go astray. Even so, it is not that with the will of our Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. You know, there are some people, they love God so much and they're so strict, they can't minister to anybody else other than the saved. I was thinking about that this morning. There are some people who are so stuck, there is no flexibility in their movement. If somebody don't know Jesus, dog eat their supper. That's an expression we used to use when we were growing up. When somebody says, you know, you're losing everything, that's another way of saying dog eat your supper. That's what that means by it. And other folks didn't understand. If our gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is good, we're going to see results. People are going to get hold of it. People are going to start to improve. They're going to start to grow. They're going to start to develop. If what we are preaching is from the Lord, then the Bible stuff that we're talking about will happen more and more. That's it. That's what I'm encouraging people to see. Because God is faithful and he keeps his covenant, he says, to 1,000 generations, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. So he's going to keep his covenant, and therefore that is automatic. So all we have to do now is come in line. And I want to encourage people to understand that our goal is, we do it for ourselves, but we're going to teach the same thing to other people, right? And that is that we're going to apply the word more and more and more and more. And what are you going to end up doing? Receiving more and more and more. For yourself only? No. We're going to do it for giveaway to other people. We expect them down the road to be doing the same thing. So you and I, ladies and gentlemen, need to understand that this is the Lord. He had compassion on those people. They're like sheep without shepherd. And I'm saying to you that we need to understand that that is what his overall goal is. Matthew chapter 15, let's go back and pick up another verse in verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Is that a literal expression? I don't know. But for 3 days, they didn't see feed the people. They have nothing to eat. And he says, And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. So yeah, you know, I guess they drink some water and so on, whatever they have this year, but it's not much. And he said they might collapse on the way. That was his assessment. He had compassion on them. These people? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves you have? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And you know the story, you know what's following. He's going to multiply it. But what preceded that? He had compassion. I want the church to learn and ask the Lord to help us develop the spirit of compassion. You're going to find that we're going to start to get more answers to prayers when we start to see these things. People say something to you negative about you some time ago. Forget that. That's the matter. You pay attention to what God is doing. No, he's with you. What's that expression? No water off your back or whatever it is. But you get the idea. No, pay attention to that. You keep praying and go on. And you're going to find that God is going to move in your life. He just said what? He just seek those who were lost. And here he is now feeding the multitude. He feeds the multitude. Let me see, do I have another example here? Matthew chapter 20. Okay, this was his nature. And verse 34. Two blind men sitting on the way, said, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. The multitude saw Jesus. These people are blind. Did they run out there and say, hey man, let's go carry you, go put you in front of Jesus so that Jesus can touch you? Oh no, they didn't say that. What did they do? They tell the people to be quiet. Hey, hold your peace. And so they cry out even more, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still. Can you see what was happening? And he said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes be open. And Jesus had compassion on them. Notice this now. They weren't in the church to our knowledge. That's what they said, they were just blind people. And he had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and then they start to follow him. He touched their eyes. I like for us, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot more I can point out along this line, but for us to start to develop more of the spirit of compassion. I'm beginning to see that more clearly now, more and more every day. That God, we knew it, but we are experiencing it and we're seeing the Lord's compassion. And I'd like for us to pray that the Lord teach us to be more compassionate to those who are in need or those who are lacking. Don't be unwise. Know what the will of the Lord is. That means you're going to have to study, fast, pray, you know, this whole that works. But you're going to be able to operate at a much higher level. That thermostat you see on the wall, it represents the goal of what we would like for the air conditioning system to do. That another way of saying is, it sets the standard. Your fate is going to set the standard for what you do. Your fate, according to your fate, be it unto you. According to your fate, you're going to accomplish this. According to your fate, are you with me? Therefore, you're going to have to fill your fate with what you need. Fill up on this information. Recognize the compassion and what God is doing and collaboration with Him. You'll find that you're going to be able to accomplish a lot. I have a whole lot more notes here, but time does not permit me to spend, you know, share more of this. Let me see if there's any scripture that I may just one last one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11. I just picked that one. It's not in my notes, but I'm familiar with that. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So here he is, he's promising him. He's going to give you a sabbatismo. Rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I am saying to you, when we hook up with Jesus, no good thing will he withhold from us. More and more we're going to find our prayers being answered on behalf of others. We're going to operate just like Jesus did, more and more. Jesus Christ has not changed. Well, he changed location. He's no longer on planet Earth like he did in the past. He's operating in and through us because he said he shall be in us. And you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to accomplish much more for Jesus. And I'd like for you to just walk with that understanding. Study this some more, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to touch on this at another time, but I just thought I'd just share that with you today to encourage you in your walk. This is Sabbath. Start thinking about it. Starting today. See how things are going to change. Make your list. The 50 things that you want on your list, or if you want to extend your list, 52. The things that you want to improve. And go to the Lord about this. You're going to find that he's going to open up those doors, and you're going to start to become a conduit and a distributor, really, for others. Practice it, and may God bless you. Thank you so much for listening.